In Matthew chapter 12, we read that Jesus, verse 22, Matthew 12, 22, Jesus cast out a demon-possessed man who was blind and deaf and dumb. And when he was healed, the crowd said, "This must be the son of David." But the Pharisees, who were jealous, said, "No, this man is Satan. He's possessed by Satan, Beelzebul." Verse 24 of Matthew 12. And he's casting out demons by Beelzebul. What a terrible sin to call the Son of God the devil. What did Jesus say? Verse 32. Whoever speaks a word against the Son of Man is forgiven. Jesus forgave instantly. He did not wait. Teaching us that we must forgive instantly. Don't wait. Don't wait 5 minutes to go and apologize to your wife when you've hurt her. Forgive quickly. My standard advice to married people is, be quick to ask forgiveness and be quick to forgive. You'll need that all your life. Be quick to ask forgiveness, be quick to forgive. You'll have a happy married life. One of the fundamental principles of marriage. So Jesus forgave immediately. And not only forgave immediately, if you read Matthew 12, verse 32, it's what I call future forgiveness. That means whoever speaks a word against the Son of Man the next 2,000 years, it's forgiven already. That's an amazing verse. He didn't just forgive those Pharisees. He said, whoever in the next 2,000 years speaks a word against the Son of Man, you're forgiven right now. And what the Lord taught me from that is future forgiveness. That means I have an attitude towards this matter of forgiveness that if anyone the rest of my life ever hurts me anytime till the end of my life, I'm going to forgive him right now. So if I hear one day that somebody said something against me or wrote something against me, I say, Lord, I don't even want to read it. I don't even want to hear it. I've forgiven him. It's forgiven. I don't care what he said, what he wrote against me. It's forgiven. This has made my life supremely happy and in wonderful continuous fellowship with God and with the continuing anointing of the Holy Spirit. So that's the next thing in assurance. It's very important. Once we come to this place, the Holy Spirit seeks to deliver us from condemnation. Now, we can condemn ourselves because we see so much of imperfection in our life, so many things in our life that are unlike Christ. And if you have a sensitive conscience, you can condemn yourself. Oh, I'm not Christ-like here. I'm not Christ-like there. Right. But to the best of your knowledge, have you confessed your sin? To the best of your knowledge, do you want to be like Christ in those areas? Then you're okay, brother. You're okay, sister, because it will take time for you to grow spiritually. So all I ask is, have you forgiven others? Are you honest with God every time you slip up? Are you quick to ask forgiveness from whomever you hurt? Don't wait even half an hour to ask forgiveness. Ask immediately. If a thorn gets into your foot or a mosquito is biting your hand, how long do you take to remove that thorn or to drive away that mosquito? 5 minutes? Or immediately? You would pull out a thorn that got into your flesh. You'd pull it out immediately. Why don't we ask forgiveness from somebody we hurt? Your wife or your husband or your children? Immediately. I'll tell you why. Because the devil's deceived us to thinking that a thorn in your foot is more serious than an unforgiving attitude. That's wrong. An unforgiving attitude is a million times worse than a thorn infecting your foot. Pull it out immediately. Repent and say, ask forgiveness from that person. I'm sorry I hurt you. Please forgive me. Say that immediately. I'll tell you, you will grow in leaps and bounds in your Christian life if you follow this rule. I follow that rule. I'm not perfect. But if I slip up accidentally sometimes, I'm quick to pull out that thorn, to forgive. Not just because I want God's forgiveness. That would be a very selfish thing to do. Oh, I want God's forgiveness and so I forgive. No. The Bible says, in Ephesians in chapter 4 and verse 32, we must forgive each other. Ephesians 4:32, just like God forgave us in Christ. So why do I forgive others? Primarily because God has set an example for me in Christ by forgiving me a million times more sins than I'm asked to forgive others, and he forgave me immediately. And he says, I will not remember your sins anymore. That means he will not consciously hold our sins against us. It's not that God's got a poor memory and he forgot what we did. No, God hasn't forgotten anything that we did. That's clear in the story of that king who unforgave the slave who did not forgive his fellow slave. Yes, there is a thing called unforgiveness. And that is, God can unforgive. God can cancel the forgiveness he gave you. It's a great warning from the story of the king who canceled the forgiveness he gave to that slave because that slave would not forgive his fellow slave. God can cancel your forgiveness, which proves that he doesn't have a bad memory, but he has chosen not to remember. That's the way I look at it. God hasn't forgotten about your past life, but he chooses not to remember. And that's all he asks of me. I cannot forget what somebody did to me. That's in my memory. I have no control over my memory. But I choose not to remember. That's an act of my will. I remember very clearly what that person did against me, what the other person did against me. But I choose with my will not to remember it and to treat him or her just as if they never did it. That is the right way to forgive. Treat them as if they never did anything wrong against you. Then you know that you are forgiven. So it says here in Ephesians 4:32, forgive as God forgave you, Ephesians 5:1, imitate God. So we must imitate God in forgiving others. Then we will be free from condemnation, even though we find sin in our life, which is still yet to be overcome. It's something like the giants in the land of Canaan. The land of Canaan is a picture of the life of victory. And when the people of Israel got into the land of Canaan, they could not finish off all the giants in one day. No. They first conquered Jericho, killed the giants there. And then they went to another area and killed the giants there. There were still multitudes of giants all across the country. This is a picture of what I call conscious sin and unconscious sin. Conscious sin is the giants you can see in your life. The sins you can see. Start with that. Ask God to help you to overcome the sins that you see. Anger, sexual lust, telling lies, unrighteousness in money matters. Things that are very clear. Start with them. There are many other things. I could tell you many things that God has shown me, but it's no use telling you about 8th, 9th grade stuff if you're still in the 2nd or 3rd grade. Deal with whatever class you're in right now. Don't worry about the other things. That'll come later. But deal with the sins that you know, and God will show you. For example, a child learns addition perfectly. Then the teacher says, now I'll teach you subtraction. Okay, you've learned addition and subtraction perfectly. Now I'll teach you multiplication. Good. Now you've gone to the next grade, you've learned multiplication. And now the teacher says, I'll teach you division. And you've learned that well. And now the teacher says, I'll teach you long division. Dividing huge numbers by huge numbers. And then he goes on and says, I'll teach you square root. And you ask the teacher, is that all? Oh, no, the teacher says, you're just beginning mathematics. Mathematics is a huge subject that will take you all your life. And that's what Christ says to us. You deal with what you know. Start with ABC. Start with addition. Then he'll teach you subtraction. Then he'll teach you multiplication and so on in the Christian life. If I deal with the sin that I know, God will show me something more. To use another illustration. If you have a cube of ice in a glass of grape juice, you can't see what is underneath. Only 10% of that ice floats above the surface and the other is hidden. Our life is like that. We see 10% of the sins in our life. 90% of the sins you're committing, you don't even realize it. 90% of our life, we are unlike Christ. That means there's sin, but we don't realize it. But if that ice cube, if you take a sharp knife and slice off that top 10% of the ice, which is sitting in that grape juice, what will happen? Something that is hidden, some part of that 90% that is hidden under the surface comes up. That is how God gives us revelation on hidden unconscious sin when we deal with conscious sin. So deal with conscious sin and God will give you more light. I believe we should be getting light every year on new sins that we did not know dwelt within us. This has been the history of my life for the last 48 years.